Jacob, Rutledge, and all you folks here, y'all in our hearts. And I'm thankful the Lord brought me this way about 20 years ago. I appreciate that. Met a lot of good preachers I didn't know. I'm kind of an isolationist. I live down there in middle of Louisiana by myself, surrounded by religionists. Not a lot of folks like us. And that's okay. We've got a big ministry. Got a lot of folks to minister to. Open your Bibles this morning to Amos chapter 7. Amos chapter 7. The Lord has allowed us to be the pull it out of the gate preachers today, and the folks that are here. We're going to set the template for the meeting. We're not going to wait till everybody comes in tomorrow. We're going to set it today. And that's a privilege to be able to do that. And I appreciate that. Appreciate Brother Jacob allowing me to stand in the pulpit and declare God's word. Amos chapter 7. I'm not going to read all the chapter for the sake of time. Amos is a book of judgment against the northern kingdom of Israel. They had degraded, much like we've degraded in America today. And God didn't let them get by. God's not going to let America get by. And I'm not preaching on America, I don't think. But I want this to be an encouraging message. An encouraging message. Let me also say this morning that I'm not preaching on education or the uneducated either. The title of the message is The Lord's School. The Lord's School. Paul preached the gospel both to the wise and the unwise. God calls very educated men into the ministry. He saves them. They go into the ministry. They have degrees of education. But he also calls the uneducated into the ministry. And we're all on equal ground. I'm not intimidated by educated men. At the same time, I don't put a premium on ignorance. And a lot of the uneducated men who are intimidated or feel inferior as preachers glorify ignorance. All they do. And they, you know, they condemn men of that have an education. You know, I got saved late in life from a normal standpoint. I was 30 years old and got saved. The Lord called me to preach at 32. My educational days were behind me as it pertained to academics. And I had a family working, so forth and so on. And so I just, you know, I just never have been intimidated by education or the lack of it from the natural standpoint. We get something from God that surpasses that. And I want to try to encourage us this morning in that. So God's judging Israel. Amos is a prophet from down in the southern kingdom. God sent him up there. He's fixing to pronounce judgment against Jeroboam. And Jeroboam had several prophets pronounce judgment against him. God dealt with him. And you go back and you read that when Rehoboam, the kingdom was divided. You read that God told him, I'll make thee a sure house. If you'll go up there and be obedient, God told Jeroboam this. You go up there and be obedient. Well, he didn't do it. He went up there and started two new worship centers, one at Dan and one at Bethel, to keep the people from going back down into Jerusalem. And so the Lord, for the sins of Jeroboam, we read over and over and over in the book of the Kings. Once you get some sins like that encapsulated or ingrained in society, you can't hardly get rid of them. Can I just say something politically? We've been fighting this immoral in our nation, this immorality, and it's in acceleration mode. It's in warp speed now. And I'm a political activist as much as it pertains to voting, encouraging people to vote, the liberty we have in America. People's died. Men have bled and died. And our founding fathers, and God raised this country up. I'm for that. I believe in all that. And so I push on people to do the best you can civilly. And I say if you don't vote, you can't gripe. If you don't vote, you can't gripe about it. So I vote and gripe a lot. So, but folks, we can't stop this onslaught of immorality. These worthless Republicans, and I'm a Republican in, as far as registration, okay? They can't stop anything. We just try to, we can't push it back. We're never, they've got this immoral, ungodly, wicked, anti-God immorality ingrained in every institution in America, just like in Jeroboam's day. And they didn't get it out of there. The sins of Jeroboam, for the sins of Jeroboam, for the sins of Jeroboam. And that's what we've got in America. And when you start seeing these type of people that we have as leaders running our country into the ground and legislating just rank immorality, they're getting this stuff ingrained in our institutions. It ain't never coming out till Jesus comes back. The Lord is going to burn this mess up. He's going to cleanse this land. And I'm for America and the liberty. I'm glad I could come up here. I'm glad we can worship free with freedom in this assembly. A lot of places all over this world, you can't do that. I'm glad we can do that. But it doesn't take away from the fact that our nation is sick. Bad sick. And one of the problems is the church has lost its light and savor. Let me just stick this in right here before I get the message. Y'all don't have a clock. I pulled this thing out the other day and I pulled a stem out. When you pull a stem out on it, it stops. I put it down there and I preached along there. I felt like about 45 minutes or so and looked down there and it was 20 till. I thought, man, I got all kind of time. Preached on there a little while later, looked down there, and it's still 20 till. All I got to do is watch the little kids. They all sit up here in front of our church. I can tell by their faces how long it is. You better behave. But anyway, so I don't know what I'm saying now. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Light. Sad to say, in church work today, our ministries, we're supposed to be a light in the darkness. We're supposed to shine as lights in a dark, dark world. What we're doing, basically, is we're all getting our lights together and we're shining our lights among the light. And we're seeing whose light outshines the other light. That's what we're doing. In church work, we're all gathering our lights up. We gather up in our churches, and I'm not against Bible conferences. We have them too. I love them. They're encouraging. I like to get rebuked. I like the Lord to work on me through the preaching. But our light is for the dark world. And a little light shines a lot when it's real dark. And instead of all of us gathering up and cutting our lights on among each other, And when we're together, we need to take this out there. And you don't have to get ready to go out there. You're going out there anyway. As you go, you got plenty of family that needs the light. You got plenty of acquaintances that need the light. As you go out there, let your light shine. Be salt. Be salt and light in this earth, in this world. And so may God help us in America today, and the church. Now, the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church. And so, the church needs to do its work in its ministry. Amos chapter 7, so here's the judgment against Rehoboam. The Lord's going to give it to him. We're going to start reading in verse 10, read down through verse 17. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. And that's about the way it is today, too. If they really knew what we preached and believed, if we really went out there with it, they wouldn't bear us either. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Can I just say something right here? Amaziah was a hireling. He was a wicked, ungodly priest of Bethel, and he was a hireling. He got paid to do what he did, and so all hirelings believe every other preacher is a hireling. And so he says, look, you up here where I'm at, you go back down there to Judah where you're from, you get paid down there. You go prophesy down there. You can preach this message down there about us, just don't come up here and preach it to us. And that's kind of the way a lot of preachers are. They'll preach a message that needs to be to something else, somewhere else. They won't preach there, to go over some, preach it somewhere else. Because it's safe to do that. We need to preach in love the message where it applies. Okay? And you don't, preachers don't need to preach to get to preach again. Preachers don't need to preach to get to preach again. You just preach, maybe this is the last time you'll ever preach here. Sometimes I go to places and I think, well, I don't want to go back there. I'm going to preach so they don't never call me back. No, we're supposed to just preach God's message. And so Amaziah said, hey, you go back down there and you preach down there. But God sent Amos up to Israel to preach against Jeroboam. And so in verse 14, then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. I didn't get into this thing to make a living. Man, I was making a living herding whatever, sheep, cows, goats, and picking sycamore fruit. I wasn't no prophet. I didn't get in this thing to make money out of it. You jerk the money out of so-called ministry today, and you'll see preachers, you'll see this thing vacated like you can't believe. There's too much money circulating today in society. All this crazy stimulus stuff, all this stuff going on today is to our detriment. We're ruined to never come back from this. But Amos said, look, I didn't get into this to make a living at it. I was already making a living. Keep that in mind as we go through this message this morning. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be a harlot in the city, and thy sons and daughters shall fall by the sword, and the land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth out of this land. And that's exactly what happened. That's the history. That's the historical account of this. I'm not preaching on the history of it. I'm preaching on the Lord's school. How God takes a man and teaches him for the ministry that he's got for him. This pertains not just preachers. This pertains to everybody. I don't have Ruth in this, but I'll just put her name in here right now. The Lord took Ruth, a Moabitess woman, and taught her. And a lot of things was involved in that she became the wife of Boaz. And so this pertains not just preachers. Of course, this is a Bible conference, and I'm preaching mainly, you know, I'm shooting in that direction. But we need to be in the Lord's school. And we need to be taught by God for our ministry. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The only real teacher that there is, now I'm talking about the real teacher of the heart, is the Holy Ghost of God. I'm for the teaching ministry of the church. I'm for pastors and teachers and evangelists and missionaries and the ministry the church has to teach the Word of God and to disciple believers and for them to grow. But the only real teacher is the Spirit of God. We got to go to His classroom. If instead of just going to church, if we could understand, we're coming down here to be taught of God. And the Lord Himself personally teaches my heart. Now, if all the people get is just a man's teaching, then that's all they got, it's a man's teaching. There's no conviction in that. There's no, when I'm standing alone out there, when the church is not around me, my pastor's not around me, when I'm out there standing alone, I won't take a stand because I don't have the deep abiding conviction for what I've learned in the Lord. But if the Lord teaches me and I acknowledge Him as the only real teacher, you know, think about what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Here he said, who's Apollos? Who's Peter? Who's Cephas? Who's Paul? Nobody. We're just ministers by whom you believe, but it's God that gives the increase. And so if we learn anything, we're going to learn it from God. Now He works direct through His Word, and He works indirect through men and women. The older women teach the younger women. We failed in that area, maybe not in this group, but in the world, as we go out into society and our churches go out into society in the local areas that we serve, we failed where older women teach the younger. Here's what I've learned in my ministry. The younger women don't want to be taught. They've got the internet. And I have to rebuke our young ladies, and we've got a lot of mothers, young mothers raising children, and I tell them God's line of you learning is not that internet. God's line of you learning is for the older women to teach the younger women how to love their husbands, love their children, to be keepers at home, to be discreet, to be modest. Older women teach that by example and by word. That's God's way. If the wife will learn anything, let her ask her husband at home, and he shall teach her. I suffer not the woman to usurp authority or to teach the men. And so that's God's way of learning. He works through that. And so we read this in the Bible for the avenues that God has provided for us, the grace He's provided for us, to learn from God. I'm telling you, the world cannot teach Christians how to live. They can't do it. They're not. Can I say this to you? A person can't give what they don't have. A false prophet ain't getting nobody saved. He can't get anybody saved. He don't have what it takes to give it to them. He don't have the gift. You've got to have the gift of eternal life, or you can give the gift of eternal life or be a conduit to give to somebody else. All a false prophet can do is deceive a bunch of people. They're deceived, and they deceive everybody else. I mean, let's cut it down to the straight and narrow. Narrow's the way. Straight is the gate. Not this broad way, and everybody's getting somebody to the Lord. You ain't getting somebody to the Lord if you don't know the Lord. You got to know Him to introduce Him to somebody else. You got to have the Lord living in you, and He teaches you how to be a witness. He teaches you how to live. He teaches you how to conduct yourself in church. Again, I'm not bypassing the avenue of the church's ministry to teach, but He is the teacher. We're just the vessels, and we need to be vessels of honor and not dishonor. So anyway, we read over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I know we can quote it, but I think God would like for us to read this in verse 10. The Bible says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, the hidden things, the wonderful things, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. So if you get anything, you're going to get it by the Spirit of God. Now your Sunday school teacher might be talking, but it's God's Spirit. And so you give honor to the Lord. And you esteem them highly in love for their work's sake, those that are over you in the Lord. I got it. I understand that. But all the honor and glory goes to the Lord. Can I say something? Let me just stick this in too. Because I got a lot of things I want to say, and I don't have many slots to say it. There's a lot of preachers that's running around this country, and they've made disciples unto themselves. And a lot of so-called Christians, so-called, have been saved on the personality of some man. Let me say that again. That needs to be said again. A lot of so-called Christians have been saved, so-called, on the personality of some man. You let him die or get moved out of the way or run off with some woman in the church or something else, and they just flop. They just out. Why? Because they've connected through the personality of some man. Kind of like the Pharisees was with Moses. Moses! 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 Jesus said, you don't know Moses. You are of your father, the devil. Moses didn't save a soul. I'll get to him in a minute. And so the Holy Ghost teaches. It's the Spirit that teaches. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. The inference there is you know the things of God by the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Where's the preacher in that? Where's the preacher in those words? Where's the teacher in those words? Where's the human element right there? Now, again, I'm not saying he doesn't. He does use us. Like one thing we're doing here, we want to be used. But the teacher is the Lord, and we need to put that back where it goes. Our churches need to know that. This is God teaching up here. And I'm nobody. Jesus made himself of no reputation. How am I supposed to be? And so, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. The holy, only teacher of the things of God is the Holy Ghost. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, I don't care if he is a preacher, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Philippians, what is it? 2 said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have the mind of Christ. In the new covenant, God writes his laws, his words, in our hearts and minds by the Holy Ghost of God. We receive the indwelling spirit, and the living word is the written word of God, is the living word of Christ in our heart. And his commandments are not grievous to us. We like them. Teach me more, Lord. I like this. I want to know more. We sang a song we don't believe. I want to know more about my Lord. More about Jesus, what I know. We sang all kinds of songs like that. Well, how much do we learn more about him? He's talking about the cross while I go preaching over and over and over. We ain't learned all about that cross. I want to know more about that. I want to see it in different ways and view. You know, there's a lot of people viewing that. And though the word agrees and their testimony agree, they saw it from various aspects. And that's what you get in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're all true. One saw it like this, one saw it like that, and they're all looking at the same thing. They're all seeing the same thing. They're all testifying the same thing. It's all the same thing. But it's different. They're looking at it from different aspects. And it's all. And so preachers, we preach across, you preach across, you preach across, I preach across, and we see it from different aspects. What a wonderful thing. I love that. The teacher is the Lord. What we need to do is go to the Lord's school. What mamas and daddies need to do is raise their children in the Lord's school. We homeschool, and I'm for it. Or we go to a private Christian school. I'm not for public school. Every institution in America is falling. They're all falling. They've even ruined it. We took the best medical institution in the world, and they ruined it. Who trusts doctors now? I just buried my daddy. Went through a month of hospital. Left this one because I thought they was lying to me. Go to this one over here. You don't trust them. They've ruined it. They've ruined our law enforcement. They've ruined it. The institution of our law enforcement used to be a stabilizing factor in the community. It's wrecked. It is wrecked. Now, military, ruined. All this woke and all this stuff going on now. They've ruined it. You can't trust the news. Sure can't trust that outfit. You can't trust our government. You can't trust Congress. Joe Biden been in there for 40 years, 50 years, however long he is, however long it's been. What's he done? Messed up a bunch of stuff, and he's really messing us up now. Now they got this deal going on over there. Our institutions have fallen. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I tell you what you do. You go to the Lord's school, and you stay with the institution the Lord established, and that's His church. What we have leaned on a lot of our social institutions in days gone by, and they were good, and that's for right. Man, we had prayer in school when I was a kid. They just lined you up. You stood there, said the blessing, said the Pledge of Allegiance, did all of that. They'll fight you over that now. It's gone. And that ain't coming back, y'all. The next thing that's going to fix that's Jesus. But the institution of the church is not falling. And it's not going to fall if we'll stay with the Lord and stay with His school. So even though we homeschool, our children need to know that you're in the Lord's school. I tell our folks there, you need to teach these kids every day that we do and don't do what we do and don't do because Jesus is in this house with us. You live your life like He's in there. He ain't watching no filthy TV. He's not doing what a lot of people are doing today. The Lord's offended at this stuff that we bring in our homes. And you tell your, the Lord won't like that. You just act like He's living here with you. Because by the way, if you're saved, He is. And you just run this into, this is the Lord won't let us do that. He teaches us not to do that. And you tell them little children, and these little bitty kids, they'll believe that. Just like they believe in the Sandman and Peter Rabbit. Amen. They've got a vivid imagination and need to keep this woke cartoon culture and quit letting the TV be a babysitter. Well, we don't have a TV. I know you got a tablet. Or you got this, or a computer, or this or that, and let that babysit these kids. No, you don't do that. And you act like the Lord is the teacher in the house. Amen. And so, let me give you a few personalities in the Bible. Now, this is for everybody, okay? And I think this ought to be, but the preachers, let me just go back to preachers at a Bible conference. We're a unique group. I mean, if God didn't have this together, we'd just blow away. We'd go like that. If it wasn't for the grace of God, the love of God, and the fellowship of the saints, what holds us together? You don't have nothing to do with me. You don't run my church. We believe in the autonomy of the local church. I don't run your church. You don't run our deal. I don't run your deal. We got a Bible that we're all supposed to look to and follow and guide. We are a unique group of men. There ain't nobody else like a bunch of God-called preachers. And that's the top of the societal list. I mean, preachers are up there at the top to have influence in society. And it's the Lord that binds us all together. But let me ask every preacher here and everybody here, let me just ask you this. When God called you to preach, did you know how to do it? Thank you. When God called you to preach or pastor or evangelize or go to the mission field, did you know how to do it? And woe to the missionary who's 22 with 7 kids that goes to the field that knows how to do it. Every better missionary down there goes, oh boy, here we go again. Amen. Yeah, I know about much missionaries. They're far young missionaries. But young missionaries don't know how to do it. They need to be taught by God how to do it. And there's individuality in this thing, folks. Everybody's got a different personality. I tell my church, we all have unique personalities. But we all should think alike. having one mind, be of one accord. What does that? The Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I don't care. I don't like cheese, right? Everybody in my church knows I hate cheese. So they cook it anyway. I mean, they serve it anyway. I just eat something else. They know I don't like cheese. God don't care if I like cheese or not. And God don't care if they cook stuff at church if it's got cheese on it or not. He don't care about that. And God don't care about crown molding. And God don't care about carpet. And God don't care about a lot of things that we fight and fuss over. But God cares about how we operate in our church work. God cares about how we train our children. God cares about how we ordain ministers. That's another fallen deal in church work today. Everybody just goes hocus pocus and gets ordained. Amen. And nobody says nothing about it. One of the biggest problems in church work today, and I'm talking about real church work, is ordaining a novice that don't know he does not meet the qualifications. Jumping up and down, talking about qualified, double married men, and I'm against that. But that ain't all that's in there. It starts with man must be the husband of one wife, but it don't end with that. Not a novice. Well, he's my son. He's not a novice. No, you're a novice and he's a novice too. You say, when are they not a novice? I said, when they've hit 50 years old and raised their teenagers. No, I'm picking. Well, we're individuals. We have unique, different personalities. And churches have personalities. But we all come together in one accord with one mind. Okay? How do we get that way? I don't know Brother Jones. He's never taught me. I've read some of his books, read Adam. Every book I had burned up. And so Brother Joe Bryant felt sorry for me, so he brings me a stack of books. Man, I can't read books, build a house, pastor a church, work a job. I have to. This book I still have to stay with. But what I'm saying, he's never taught me. Who taught me? I assume me and him are believe alike. Me and Brother Rutledge believe alike. Me and I assume the Holy Ghost teaches us. The Holy Spirit of God is the teacher. And he works in and through us. Okay? So we're unique. We're disciples. We're learners. We're followers of the Lord. And folks, let me make my last point right now. I'm not through preaching. I'm going to go ahead and make my last point. We're fixing to face something in the future we've never seen before. We're facing it. We're facing it. We need to be taught by God how to deal with this stuff. Church is facing things it's never faced. Society, families, Lord, how do I deal with this? You know, something comes into the church, how do I deal with it? I know what we used to do. Was it true and right? Are we going to hold those principles and standards now? This thing is so messed up out there in society. What are we going to do about it? I need the Lord to teach me. We're facing things we ain't never faced before. Let me just go. I'm going to walk you through the Bible real quick, and I'll be done. I promise. I'll be done. We need to spend time alone with God. I'm big on read your Bible, but read it effectively. I taught all our young people, this has been several years ago, the first crop coming up, I said, you need to learn all the books of the Bible in their order. Now, I said, the Bible's not in chronological order. Because you get in Zechariah, he's over there with Ezra, way before Psalms. So this Bible is categorically put together, not chronological. But you can find the chronology of it. So that's right. It's different. It's categorized the way the Lord put it together. But I taught them all to learn the books of the Bible, all the way through, old and new. So they learned all the books of the Bible. I said, we learned them all. I said, that ain't good enough. Learn them backwards. Learn them all backwards. Oh, yeah, you can do it. Revelation's back. Of course, they challenge me. Well, can you do it? I believe in reading your Bible. But I believe in reading the Bible effectively. Not just, well, I need to read my Bible today. And a lot of times, we just, it's not preeminent. We just, I got to read. Jacob's going to ask me, Pastor, I need to read. You need to read the Bible where if the Lord is not speaking to your heart, you're sinning and you're reading. If the Lord is not speaking to your heart, you're bringing His reading, the Word of His God, the Word of God down to a level in your heart. You're not giving the right kind of attention to it. I rip this social media today. And, I mean, I just throw hand grenades all over it. Of course, all my church folks still use it. And we justify it. I mean, this phone's become a part of our lives. And Satan's put everything in the world on there.
Amen.
And they can remember stuff about, and I don't know the platforms, but I hear Snapchat and Twitter and whatever, Facebook. They remember all that, but they can't remember something in the Bible that I spit four pews deep preaching that morning. We remember things we're interested in. We remember those things that we're interested in. And if it don't interest me, I don't remember it. One of the best evidences that you had revival in your heart is retention. I want to say that again. Retention is evidence that God planted something in your heart. It fell on good soil and it began to grow and produce fruit. That's called retention. Our depraved minds retain every wicked thing we ever did all of our life back. You let somebody lose their mind, I'm getting to the age now where my friends are losing their minds. And they can't remember something happened a week ago, but they remember what they did 27 years ago. Retention. And so we need to retain what God teaches us. All right, let me run through the scriptures right quick. Some Bible particulars. First of all, the Lord's school. Noah, and this is just, I just put these down. Everybody knows these fellas and ladies. Noah was not a shipbuilder. Noah was not a weather prognosticator. He didn't predict weather. Weather was the same every day. But God taught him. How did he build that thing? Now, I don't know if this thing up in Kentucky is the right dimensions or not. Pretty close, I'm told. But I went through that thing, walking through that, and I'm sure of two things. That's not an exact replica of what this Bible tells us up there. If you ever went, now my wife said, don't get on that. I enjoyed it. And I'd rather go to the Ark experience than a football game. Okay? But I'm just saying, the way you know how preachers are, we got to critique everything. That ain't scriptural. But I was glad to take my kids up there, my grandkids. Man, I'm a builder. And you can't believe what it was in that thing. Who taught him how to do that? God did.
Amen.
Gave him exact dimensions. No, we didn't read the blueprint. We just got the overall, we're just kind of looking at the big picture. But them beams and all that, gopher wood, pitch, and all that stuff, and compartments and all, who taught him how to do that? Nobody had ever done that. He couldn't go to school to learn how to do that. And so Noah was taught by God. Abram, which became Abraham, was not a nation builder. He didn't know how to build a nation. He didn't even know how to keep his wife with him when Abimelech took her. He had to be taught by God. When he tried to do it, he ends up with Hagar and Ishmael. The futility of man's efforts. God said, no, of thine own bowels I'm going to raise up a son. Yeah, no way. Can't do it. Sarah's laughing. And so God waited till it was impossible for man, but that was impossible for man, not impossible God. And God brought up the nation of Israel
through Abraham. Abraham knew nothing of how to do that. God taught him. God taught Isaac. God taught Jacob. Now through the Bible. He's the teacher. And so we come through the scriptures. Moses. I love this about Moses. Moses is raised in Pharaoh's school. And he has a connection through his parents to the Israelites. And he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of Pharaoh, the pleasure of sin for a season in Pharaoh's house. But he was taught by Pharaoh. Sure. And so when he decides he's going to lead the nation out, he's going to kill them Egyptians one at a time and hide them in the sand. Yeah, I mean, he's doing what he can for his people. But God had not taught him. And so God said, Nope, I need to put you in the backside of the desert for 40 years. And so God runs him over there and he meets Jethro and marries and has all of goes for 40 years. And in the time of God's choosing, God put a fire in a bush. And the bush wasn't burnt up. And Moses didn't know anything about it. And he said, I'm going to turn aside and see what kind of great sight this is. I've been out in this desert for 40 years. I've never seen a bush catch a fire like that and not burn up. And he goes over and God speaks to him out of that. What's the first thing God told him? Loose thy shoe off thy foot. You're fixed to become a servant. And you're on holy ground. And so I get by that the first thing God teaches anybody is about his holiness. That God is holy and you are unholy. And I have got to make you what I want you to be. Moses said, I can't talk. God said, who made your mouth? Who put words in? Who made you with the ability to speak? And of course, you know the story how Aaron comes down there. And so Moses leads them out. Who's teaching Moses what to do? God's teaching Moses every day. Every 10 plagues, Passover, come out, where to go, get to the Red Sea. They're going to kill us. Walk over. God's teaching. Get over there. God's going to dwell with them. Now he's in a cloud and a pillar of fire, but he's going to get right down into camp. And so he says, Moses, you're going to build me a tabernacle and I'm going to give you the blueprints. I'm going to catch you up. I'm going to show you up here the pattern of the holy things down here. You're going to build this for me down here. Moses knew nothing about that. And so God, you start in Exodus 25, God said, okay, you're going to start with the Holy of Holies, the mercy seat. How does a builder start? Oh, we start with the walls. No. God's wall is himself. So he says, you start in where I dwell, and you work your way out of this thing, and I'm going to give you some help, Bezalel, and you're going to build a dwelling place for me. And he gave him by minute detail. Where did Moses learn that in Egypt? God taught him that. Is that God your God? Is that your God? How are we going to face the future? Well, God's going to teach us how to face the future. Daniel said, Lord, what's all this mean over in chapter 12? He said, you go your way, you're going to rest. And at the end, they that are wise will understand. How are they going to understand? Well, they're going to figure out the Da Vinci Code. Y'all don't know what that is. That's good. God's going to teach them. They shall all be taught of God. Well, you come on now through the Bible. You got Joshua. He's going to conquer the land. He sees Jericho. I guarantee you they got together and said, now how are we going to do this? Well, we're going to rush this thing. We've got walls built up to the sky. And said, we're going to rush this thing. God said, no, y'all not going to do it that way. Well, you're going to do it another way. You're going to walk around that thing once every day for 6 days. What? Because God's in control and God's in charge and God's going to teach them. And they walked around and on the seventh day it fell down flat and they went up. Who's teaching? God's teaching. Elisha. I think about Elisha. I like Elijah. You ain't going to make it. Go on back. That's what I tell my young men. You ain't going to make it. You can't take it. Turn back. Turn back. You know, if a young man has really got the Lord, that just like holler, sick him to a pit bull. You ain't gonna make it turn back. I'm gonna keep going. No, I'm gonna keep going. I'm gonna keep going. I'm gonna keep going. They crossed the river. Elijah's taken up. The mantle falls. Elisha picks up the mantle. That's what the next generation's got to do, by the way. And smote that river. And the Lord taught him that. Elijah's gone. And so he comes back across the river. And knowest not that God will take thy master from thee today, take thy head from thee today. Oh, how you going to make it without Elijah? And Elisha said, hold your peace. There's something down in there. He said, God ain't going to bring me out here and leave me to myself, and he won't do it to you either. David didn't go to a giant killing school. David went to work, obeyed his daddy, tended the sheep, went down there and saw it. God had already told him to kill a lion and a bear. Think about that. Think about killing a lion. Watch one of them dudes on what they do. David went out there and said, that sheep's in my charge, you ain't getting it. And he, man, God got on him. He rose up. I guess he grabbed him by the beard and just clubbed his brains out with his fist. Smote him. Who taught David how to sling that rock? Who directed that rock to hit that giant? God taught him. The Holy Spirit of God. Come on down to John the Baptist. I like it. Man, you got favorites? John the Baptist, I love the way he, God said, keep him in the desert. Eat locusts and wild honey. So I don't eat tame honey. I eat wild honey. Okay? Okay. And so to the day of his showing, John the Baptist comes on the scene. He don't even go down to the church. He just gets out there in the wilderness and starts declaring, repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. And God prepared him to go before the face of the Lord. And God drawed them people together. And God taught him. And I can just see Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees and all these, the big educated guys. I can see all them come down there and say, you know, we've studied and we had never seen this before. And old John the Baptist, they didn't address him. He said, oh, generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? The axe is laid to the root of the trees. And every tree is going to be cast into fire, doth not bring forth fruit. And so what I'm saying is, God taught that. Peter on Pentecost didn't go to a soul winning class. You know, I preached here a while back up in Oklahoma, got through, walked down. You know how people lie to you after you get through preaching? Most of them say they enjoyed your message. I learned about that. I learned about that years ago. That same crowd anyway. And I walked down, old boy said, hey, I'm going to talk to you, you know. The preacher, I want to talk to you. You're fixing to straighten me out. Yeah. Okay. Well, I understand you don't believe in soul winning. I said, oh, stop. I said, who told you that? I said, what do you mean I don't believe in soul winning? He said, I said, I believe in soul winning. We're all soul winners. I said, I sure want my children's souls saved. And I said, friend, let me tell you something. I don't believe in it like you do it. Amen. You got taught how to do it wrong. And they just pass this stuff down. I say this, a soul's worth a lot. We've cheapened God's gospel down. The grace of God doesn't cost us anything, but it's valuable. And you got to connect with people. And I said, I don't believe in it like you do it. I said, you orchestrate the connection. You become the convictor. You become the mediator. You tell them they're lost. You tell them they're saved. And they look at you like, am I? Really? Yeah, oh, yeah. And you go down the road, go back home to your church and tell them, we got 12 saved today. And I said, I don't believe in soul winning like that. You are the mediator. You're the man between them and God. Uh-uh. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, not you. And I said, you can't take the work of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. If you do, you deceive people. They got to be convicted of their sins. And so, John the Baptist, Peter on Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. Where did he learn how to do that? Let me tell you. Let me just give you a quick synopsis right quick. He went to Calvary. He saw Jesus die. Well, before that, going through Caiaphas and all that, he died with Christ. His soul in his heart of hearts. He never believed Jesus would go to that cross. He had them swords. He didn't want it. Not so, Lord, oh, a little bit far from thee. That's the night he was taken. And Jesus drug him in there kicking and screaming. You're going to see me pay the sin debt. You're going to see the very God of heaven suffer for the creation. You're going to see me beat, spit upon, rejected, and humiliated, and shamed. And you're going to see them crucify me, and I'm going to die in your sight, and you're going to go to Calvary with me, kicking and screaming, and I'm going to resurrect, and I'm going to appear to you. That's where he went to school. But before he had the Holy Ghost, he's sitting in an upper room. And all of a sudden, the teacher came. He wasn't preaching till the teacher got there. And I want to say something this morning. We don't preach till the teacher shows up. And when the preacher showed up, the preacher, the cloven tongues of fire, and the rushing mighty wind got on him, and then he went and preached. And he knew exactly what to say. He started preaching out of the book of Joel. Why wasn't he doing that a week ahead of that? Because he hadn't been taught yet. Amen. Amen. Paul said, I count it all but dung. Everything I ever learned, everything I ever did, that I might win Christ. That's what he said. And then you come on down to the end of the Bible, John the Revelator. Where was he at when he learned the revelation of Jesus Christ? Where was he at? Was he in somebody's church? Isle of Patmos for the testimony of the Lord. And the Lord taught him. And we got the blessed revelation of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the end of this world. And the destruction thereof. And oh, that old used to be regular. You'd go to a meeting like this and somebody would preach on the great whore. False religion. Ever deceitful and unclean bird in her cage. Somebody preach that. You know, and the harlot, mother of harlots and all her daughters, we're scared to say anything about it now. And I'm telling you right now, God's going to allow her to be used and he's going to burn her up, the Bible says. And there's the four hallelujahs down there and they're going to say hallelujah. Praise God. Y'all, is that okay? Everybody still good with that? All right. Who taught John that? The Lord taught him. That same God will teach me and you. The Lord's good. I'm done.